Pure Radio. Right now, there are small business owners like you claiming back on average £46,000 from the government. You see, the government wants to reimburse companies for innovation. What does this mean for you? Well, put simply, if your staff have spent time and resources developing your business, you could claim back cash. We're RIFT. We're specialists in preparing claims for small businesses. To find out from RIFT if your business is eligible, visit innovationreward.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on this Tuesday, the 3rd of March, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Just noticing everybody else got a loo break except me.
Well, you weren't quick enough.
Well, I can't get in.
There's a mad rush.
Stan, there's all these men going to the loo, so I'll just have to, you know.
Wait.
Yeah, purse my lips.
Cool. Good. We're going to be joined shortly on the Small Business Base Camp by Mr. Chris Gaze from RIFT Accounting, and we're looking forward to that. And we're going to be talking various things to do with HMRC. So do tweet in any questions that you might have about handling HMRC. We'd be more than happy to try and handle them. If we don't get round to handling all of your questions, then I think that we will put out an FAQ later on that will follow up and do that. We've had some other tweets that I just want to get through. The lovely people at Telcare have tweeted. Lisa Marie at Telcare, and she's having a sarnie and listening to the show, so welcome.
I thought
Lisa.
She said she was wearing a sari, you see.
No, she's eating a sarnie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what's in it.
And also, well, I'm sure she'll tell us, and also the barrister broker that says, hi Vanilla Webb and Jill Serkin, greetings from me and the lovely Laura Burton Lawrence at the Crowbar Expo.
Yeah, they said they were there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So have a great show, they say. Well, you have a great show too.
Well, you know that Barrister Broker was so good on Scoff and Quaff as a co-presenter. He's going to come and do some more co-presenting. He's going to read out tweets and events for me.
Blimey.
I liked him because he washed up, Paul Andrews.
Oh, well, that would be it.
That's a fetching picture of you there on Twitter.
Oh, what, with Mickey Mouse ears?
Lovely.
Thank you, Jules. You've only used that a million times, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do like that.
Yeah. We have another new listener. And they say, and it's somebody called Nicola Clissoid.
Yes.
Which is an unusual name as well. And they're from a company called Tenir, T-E-N-I-R, and their Twitter handle is Tenir, T-E-N-I-R, P-C. And it says, hi, Vanilla Web. Vanilla Web. That'll be me then.
Yeah,
well. Hi, Vanilla Web. Does anyone need help with their commercial property search and acquisition or advice on their commercial issues? If so, we can help. Well, thank you for that, Nicola. So if you are looking at commercial property transactions, you might want to give them a follow on the Twitter. And they're Tenir PC, T-E-N-I-R-P-C. Thank you. You can speak now.
You see, I've pursed my lips because her name is actually Nicola Clissold, which is not as unusual because there is a famous Clissold Park in North London that's named after her.
Is there really?
Yeah, Clissold Park.
I never go north of the river.
When I was a yoga teacher many moons ago, I used to go and have a lovely yogi lunch there. Clissold Park. Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah, Clissold Park.
So are you trying to say that Nicola owns Clissold Park? Is that what you're saying?
I think it was probably named after her. I don't
know. Possibly.
Yeah.
And Laura Cornish of Runway Training has said, Vanilla Webb, having a great show today. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
Well, of course. And I mean, look what was named after Lorna.
Well, a whole of Cornwall.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's pretty good going.
Yeah.
So what, is she making you dress up next week as well?
No, she's not making me dress up. I'm doing a talk for them. I'm doing a talk at Crowborough Rugby Club.
Most of your lady
so
friends.
If I did go in drag, it would probably work.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you going to get in the tub with them all afterwards?
No, I'm not going to play rugby. I'm going to do a keynote speech at an event on apprenticeships. Because you do know that next week is National Apprenticeship Week.
I do, as well as Pie Week as well.
Yeah, okay.
It's Pie Fortnight. Mm. Did you know, Paul Andrews, that Margate FC Community Trust opens its first office at Discovery Park?
Has it really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they are. So that's Sandwich in Kent. Mm. And the trust is founded by Bob Laslett, who's the chairman of Margate Football Club. And he set it up and supports the community initiatives for children, youth and mature adults in the Margate, Thanet and wider East Kent area. And the charity company aims to provide education through sport, health and fitness and community outreach. Mixed youth football, deaf football and programmes for scouts, guides, primary and secondary schools. So you could pass this on to your deaf charity ladies, couldn't you, Louise and everyone? I wonder if they know that Margate FC do that.
They probably do, yeah.
Maybe they've set it up with Margate
FC. They could well have done, yeah. They do quite a lot of on the sport front.
So this is brilliant. Bob Laslett says, setting up our first office is significant because it gives us a professional space to carry out our work and meet with potential charity supporters. So community sport, and that's in the Margate, Thanet and Southeast area. If you want to give a boost or get involved, contact them, Margate Football Club.
Cool. You know that we were talking earlier about the number of people that had tweeted in saying they weren't actually listening right now.
Yeah.
And we were threatening to go around and find out what they were doing. Well, we've had a tweet on that subject from Dialer Brain.
Oh, yes.
And he said, I just thought I'd let you know, before you decide to drive round to our place, I thought I'd let you know that we are, in fact, listening in.
Oh, so we can't...
Well, we don't need to, because they're actually listening. So thank you, Rupert.
Yeah, but still, Chris Pollard still needs a visit, doesn't he?
Yeah, we'll send the boys around there.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I put a little picture of you in your Snake Hips era, going around in that car.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, a little picture of you.
That was useful. And we've had a tweet from Caroline and Liz, the Riverford sisters, at Riverford_Kent.
What are they saying?
Great show, listening while delivering to offices and homes across East Kent.
Really?
Yeah. And also our good friends Richard and Mark at Bridger House. Good listening to you guys, Vanilla Webb and Jill Serkin, on the Business Bunker show. Really enjoyed listening to your business community.
And Nicola Clissold has said, thanks, Vanilla Webb. Jules Serkin has pronounced my name correctly, unlike you.
Yeah.
But no ownership of Clissold Park.
Okay.
It's a lovely park, though. She should definitely visit.
She should claim ownership.
Well, she could take the plaque, couldn't she?
Yeah, she's probably got her own copy of the plaque. And Lisa from Telcare has tweeted in, and she said, no, sandwich, not sorry.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Sarni as in sandwich. Yeah. But she hasn't told us what is actually in the sandwich.
No, we still want to know.
Absolutely.
Well, she might be listening, you know, behind a bit.
Yeah. Anyway, it's now time for our Small Business Base Camp feature on the show.
Mm.
And we're joined once again by Mr. Chris Gaze, who's a senior accountant at Rift Accounting. Chris, welcome onto the Business Bunker show again.
Thanks, Paul.
It's lovely to have you back. We're going to talk now about HMRC related issues. The last time you guys were on the show, we were talking about VAT Moss, which was a new form of VAT that came in, and two or three people asked us questions about HMRC in general, so we thought we'd kind of broaden out this week's show to look at those kind of things. So kick us off. I mean, I've had a couple of questions here. Do you want me to throw a couple at you and see what you think? Put him on the spot a little bit.
Let's see where that takes us.
Yeah, we could have fun with this, couldn't we? How much is a fine if you start a sole business but you don't register it with HMRC, what actually happens under those circumstances?
Well, you're supposed to inform HMRC that you've started within 3 months of trading or 5th of October following the year you should have made a return.
Yeah.
If you never tell them that you've started trading, and was the question that you cease trading or you continue trading?
No, it didn't actually specify. I suspect someone started a business, hasn't told them, and they're now worried about how much they're going to get fined.
Okay, well, they should. At the latest, it should be the 5th of October after the tax year that they start trading in, and then it's whether that return becomes late or not.
Yeah.
So generally, you can get away with telling them a bit late if you can give them a bit of a extension, some circumstances why you didn't tell them, then they'll let you away with that. But if you start putting your returns in late, then that's where you'll get the penalties.
Cool. Any idea what you get done for if you're going to continue to trade and you miss it? What's the fine? Is there a standard fine, do you know?
Well, it depends how late you get. If you're over a year late, it gets up to around £1,600 a year.
Oh, really? Wow.
So, and then if you've got multiple years, you can multiply that up.
Right, okay.
So, significant.
Right, absolutely. So, don't forget. And let's just explore that just briefly, because in my long experience in business, I do come across some funny things that people do. Well, they're not funny, but do you know what I mean? People just seem to have this odd idea about what a business is. And so many people, especially as sole traders, because it is a kind of grey area, isn't it? A sole trader doesn't have a business built around them. A sole trader is that person.
That's right.
But it isn't you. It is still a kind of business, and you have to register it. And so many people don't even know you have to register the business.
No, that's right. When you're a sole trader, it's difficult to separate yourself from the business in a legal sense. But you do have to register that with HMRC, and you have to register to do a tax return and to show that income that you've got, particularly if you've got other employment alongside that. If you haven't got anything and you start a small business and you're potentially not having any tax to pay if you're only earning a small amount of income through this business, so there's less potential for the high penalties then. But if you're doing it on the side of employment or another business or a company you're running, then you definitely need to.
Absolutely. This is a horrible question I'm going to ask you now. Sorry about that, Chris. But again, it's one of these things that I talk about quite a bit with people. And I suspect that there isn't actually a definitive answer here. Is there any way, you know, some people are sole traders, some people are self-employed. Sole traders are normally always self-employed. But is there a clear distinction between being self-employed and being a sole trader?
Not really, no. Right. I would interchange the terms all the time. I would effectively say they're the same thing.
Right, okay. Is it possible to be self-employed without being a sole trader? I can't think how, but...
I can't see how you would be.
No.
You might say you're self-employed alongside being employed. If you didn't have anything except for your self-employed business, you might say you're a sole trader, but to me they're the same thing.
Yeah.
And one goes, it's mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Well,
they're the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And people are kind of concerned about the money aspect of this, which means that you should have thought about it earlier, people out there. What's the fine if my tax isn't in by the 31st of January? Then they haven't said which tax, whether they're talking about personal or corporation tax or whatever. But just as a general overview, Chris, how do HMRC treat these things? I recently, because we got to the self-assessment period and loads of people, I can't remember, I'm probably making this number up, but was it something like 700,000 people were late with their self-assessment? Loads of people were late, and then HMRC started doshing out fines, and people started moaning that a lot of it was down to HMRC not being able to process on the last couple of days. But then... if you will leave it to the last day, what do you expect, kind of thing?
Yeah, there's actually been some talk in the press about them removing the automatic penalty for being late and to bring in a, they've called it a driving offence kind of regime, where if you keep clocking up the penalties, then you'll get...
So you'll have points on your licence
thing to that. Yeah. But at the moment, if you're late with either your submission or your penalty, it's a £100 fine.
Right.
And then if you haven't submitted by the end of March, you can get £10 a day penalties.
Right, okay.
And then if you get further late, then there's extra penalties that come on top of that. And you also have to pay interest on the tax that hasn't been paid as well.
Right, okay. So it can add up quite quickly and quite substantially.
Yeah, so over a year, if you're a year late, it gets up to around £1,600.
Okay. I mean, just as a general thing, in your experience, I mean, we just said that quite a lot of people have got caught by this. What's the problem? Why do people get caught to it in such large numbers? Why do you think, as an accountant, what would you tell people to think about or do, or how to handle what they do?
Well, it's important if you're starting a business to make sure you register with HMRC at the earliest opportunity. When you do that, you'll obviously start to receive the reminders from HMRC that these returns are due at certain points, and that's a trigger for you to do what is required. You should make sure you keep good records during the year, because if you haven't kept good records, it's then difficult to come up with the numbers. If you're sitting down on the 31st of January to do it and then you realise your records are all over the place, then you're going to have trouble. There are some excuses that you can give to HMRC as to why your term was late, but it's quite a restricted list.
They've heard them all,
unless you're on your deathbed or
the dog ate my homework type of thing.
That's
not
going to wash.
Yeah.
But there's a list on their website that they will accept, but they may ask for some sort of proof of that.
I'm assuming, and this is a big assumption, but I think I'm probably right, I'm assuming that an awful lot of people just don't like doing it. They put it off and put it off and put it off because they think, you know, filling forms in, working out the numbers, doing all this, I don't really fancy it. A bit like their own self-assessments and stuff like that. Everybody, you know, leaves it to the last minute. And then realises they don't have the data that they need, because they don't. I think we, as humans, we get one of these things that says, if I just ignore that and don't even look at it, it might just go away. And of course, it never does.
No, that's it. And to be honest, you're better off taking the pain early and doing it as soon as possible. Because then if you have got a liability to pay, then you've got much more time to manage how you do that. If you only sit down on the 31st of January and then you find you've got a big tax bill to pay, you've got to pay that straight away.
Absolutely.
And you may not have put aside the funds to do that. So it's in, it's in your best interest to do it as soon as possible so that you know what your commitments are.
But also, as you pointed out quite rightly, and this is a thing that catches out a lot of people, when people sit down on the last day and open it up for the first time and think, oh, I haven't got the data for that.
I haven't got that, and you can't do it. And then you're late. You've got no movement, no time to find the missing information. So it's always better to do it as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people don't like doing them, but it's just something you've got to accept. You either sit down and do it early, pay someone else to do it, or...
I was going to say, or they could just hire you to do it for them.
Yeah. That's obviously the preferable option.
Yeah. So there you go. Don't be lazy. Either do it, or if you're not going to do it...
Sort it.
Hire someone that will do it for you and do it properly. Because you guys in RIFT, this is what you do all day, every day. You deal with HMRC. You know, you have a hotline to them almost, do you not?
Absolutely. We have thousands of calls made to HMRC every week. We did 30,000 tax
a bit like Batman. Yeah. Do you remember Batman? He had a hotline. He had a bat phone.
They got
You've got a RIFT phone.
They got a bat phone in the RIFT cave over there in Ashford that is a hotline directly to HMRC. Yeah. I know that. I've seen it. But no, absolutely. You know, again, it's a false economy. If you don't like doing that kind of thing, if you're worried about having to fill out all those forms and getting it right, why put yourself through that? Why not hire someone like RIFT to do it for you? Because it makes absolute sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. If there's something you're not comfortable doing, then why do something you're not comfortable doing when you can get a professional to do it for you?
I've also had a question here, and this is quite a difficult one. If you get a penalty notice from HMRC but you're currently not working, is there any way that you can kind of handle that? So I'm assuming that what they're saying is that at the moment, you know, I don't know, maybe they've got a broken leg or something. And let's say they're a plumber. They've broken their leg in a skiing accident because you know how much plumbers charge, so they're all skiing and stuff like that. So they're incapacitated. They're not at work. They've got to make a payment, but they're not earning. Okay. Is there anything they can do about that?
Well, I always say that the best thing to do is to speak to HMRC as soon as you can. I know a lot of people are afraid of HMRC, but if you go to them and you can't pay your tax liability for one reason or another, they will listen to you, and they would rather make a payment arrangement to get it from you over a number of months rather than risk not getting it at all. So always speak to them rather than ignoring the problem.
Yeah. I mean, this to me seems to be the essence of where most people get to with this. And there's two sides to this. As someone that runs a number of businesses and has cause occasionally to speak to HMRC, to be honest, it can be like sticking pins in your eyes trying to talk to the people at HMRC. As someone that doesn't do it very often, you know, they can drive you nuts because you go through one of their stupid call centres with an IVR box. You don't always know who you want to talk to or what you want to talk about, and they're not always incredibly helpful either.
One of the main challenges is actually getting to speak to someone. Once you've gone through their telephone automated system, which is about 3 minutes, then they've been to the wrong person.
Yeah.
It is frustrating, but if you can get through to the right people in the business payment support section, then they can help you with this sort of thing.
I'll tell you this just so I can have a dig at HMRC, and I did it myself, even though I have accountants and all kind of people, because I just wanted to have a go at them about their stupidity. They sent me a letter fining me for not doing a national insurance return for a business I owned. The only little drawback that they had is I didn't employ anyone, which is why I hadn't done a return.
Is that a real-time information?
Yeah.
There was a time where they were sending those out left, right and centre,
yeah.
And that will come again soon because they keep delaying...
They do it over and over. They keep delaying
the penalty regime for RTI because they couldn't get it to work, but it's actually supposed to start again for small companies from next month.
Yeah.
So wouldn't be surprised if you start...
I'll get another one. Yeah, no, absolutely. We had a whole spate of them, and I'd ring up every week or every month and go, you sent me this again. We sorted it all out last time, and I go, oh, yeah, okay, ignore it. And I go, are you sure you're not going to send me another one? No, no, no. bosh, there it would happen. And each time the fine went up because they'd added interest and all the rest of it. So the fine was going up and up and up each month. And every time I rang, they admitted that they were wrong and then sent me another one, which was a laugh.
Yeah, their systems around RTI haven't been up to standard. Mm. We'll have to see what happens when they come into force again next month.
Just for the benefit of those people that haven't had the joy of doing that, just a quick explanation of what RTI is.
Okay, RTI came in a couple of years ago, and it's to do with if you're making payments to employees.
Yeah.
Previously, you would have to record it on the payroll, but you'd only do a submission to HMRC at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And then as long as you'd paid your taxes that were due by that time, then everything would be fine. What came in a couple of years ago was real-time information where you had to submit to HMRC every time you made a payment to an employee. So if that's every week, you have to make a submission every week.
Yeah.
And you have to make your tax payments every month by the 19th of the previous month. If you're late with a submission, there's a penalty. Now, they've, as I said, they kept delaying these penalties because they couldn't get their systems in place to make it work right, and all the people administering the payroll schemes weren't familiar with it, so a lot of them were getting penalties when it wasn't really fair, so they kept delaying it. But now they think that it's going to go live from next month, and
whoopee-doo.
Everyone needs to make sure they get their payroll submissions in on time.
Okay.
I'm amazed by Chris. You've flashed all these questions at him and he's answered everything.
He just knows.
He hasn't looked at his notes once.
He just knows. He knows.
He's a clever thing, isn't
he? He's what in the business is called a geek.
A boffin.
Yeah.
Very, but you haven't phased him at all, can't you? Think of something really hard to
no,
ask.
No, I can't. I've tried to throw all kinds of hard things at him, and he just bats them away and
racking your brain.
Just tells you that's the beauty of dealing with professionals like Rift, isn't it? What they're doing,
he knows it.
When they know what they're doing, you know, that's why now he's told me that about RTI. I'm not going to do it myself again. I only did it for a laugh because I knew I was right.
Yeah.
In future, I'll just send it to Rift and go sort them out.
Yeah.
And Rift will do it for me. Oh, but you know, absolutely. But I wanted that one because it served my little feeble desire to be right in the face of HMRC just for once. Yeah. And say, it's you, not me. And to get them to say sorry.
Quite often is HMRC and not you.
So yeah, they
you
do.
That's worth saying, actually. You shouldn't just take their penalties and pay them without questioning. If you don't think it's right, you should challenge it.
Absolutely.
And generally, you get 30 days within the time the penalty's been issued from to challenge it. But if you don't think it's right, definitely challenge it.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the things I did find in dealing with HMRC is they can be a bit lax in terms of the information they give you about what they're fining you for as well. You know, I get letters from them saying da-da-da-da-da, but it doesn't have a very good reference on there, so you don't really know what they're talking about. I'm trying to think of an example, but I have one where they said I owed them tax from a couple of years ago for something that they'd found, but they didn't tell me what it was or when it was. And every time I rang up, no one at HMRC knew. They just said, well, send us 700 quid.
It's like the NHS, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really?
And I said, but hold on a minute. You can't, in your letter that you've sent me, you haven't explicitly told me why I owe you this and for what and from when. And until you do, I can't check whether you're right or not. And they went, well, if you don't pay it, we'll add to it. And I went, oh, hold on a minute. I don't know if it's right, because you haven't given me any information to go on for me to go and look at my records and see whether you're right or not.
Do you have these kind of conversations, Chris?
On
behalf of your clients?
I have done many times. You can't come to an agreement. It's not always clear what HMRC are penalising you for. Mm. They send out these letters and statements, which generally computer generated, no one's actually thought about it before it's gone out. It's just been sent straight out the system. And if you're late tax, or if that's what it is that they're sending you, isn't explicitly fitting one of their boxes, then they might send you a template that's not quite right, and then it's not clear what you're being penalised for. So you should always challenge it.
Absolutely. In this particular instance, it was quite a laugh, actually, because it was one of the other few times that I've won.
You love this sort of thing. You thrive on it.
Well, no, only because I was winning.
Arguing with a template, basically.
Only because I was winning, because basically I kind of worked out what it was without them telling me, and I'd found my records to find that I had in fact paid it at the time I was supposed to have paid it, and it was their records that were wrong. But I was trying to get them to even think about what they'd sent me, and the fact that if they were right, I still wasn't in a position to do it. But when I eventually said I paid it, and this is when I paid it, and this was the check number, and this is the day you cashed it, they went, they said to me, oh, it was that year. And I went, yeah. And they went, oh, right.
That is one other particular problem with HMRC. They're quite good at allocating your taxes to the wrong year.
Yeah.
They're quite good at allocating it to the wrong tax. So if you've paid your VAT, they'll put it against your corporation tax, or they might put it against your PAYE.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So working out what they've done is...
Yeah,
it shouldn't really be our job to figure out what they've done, but often it is.
Yeah. Mm. No, absolutely. All good fun. But these guys are the guys you need to do it for you. I only get involved with them when I think I'm going to win. I want to ask you about this as well, because, again, people get a little bit confused about this, about self-assessment. Can you just give us a little overview, Chris, of what self-assessment is and who has to do it and on what basis?
Okay. Well, you have to register for self-assessment if you meet some criteria. So if you are self-employed, you've got a sole trade business, you need to do a self-assessment so you can tell HMRC how much you've earned and how much tax you have to pay, if any. You have to register for self-assessment if you're a company director, unless it's the director of a charitable company, not-for-profit, and you don't receive any pay.
Right.
If this is an interesting one, if you are a high earner, so you earn over 50,000 and you receive any child benefit in your home, you now have to do a tax return because there's a high income child benefit charge.
Right.
So you have to start paying back that child benefit, and they do it through your self-assessment.
it's bureaucracy for the sake of it. You know, yeah. I'm going to give you some money, and then you've got to fill out a form to give it back to me. Yeah.
But
okay.
It's the same with private health, which I've got with my new husband's job at Bloomberg, and we get that, but my new husband has to pay £1,000 for the privilege of being given the private health.
Oh yeah, so, well, that's a benefit in kind.
But why is it? I'd rather just have a grand in my pocket than PP.
You need to talk to an accountant, because that's not a good idea at all.
But why do it? What, you're given a private medical insurance, which takes the pressure off the NHS, but then you're taxed on it.
Yeah,
but you're helping the NHS.
If you were going to get that
life.
Private medical insurance yourself, it would cost you
a lot more.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't buy it. It's just given to me. I wouldn't.
You don't have to accept it as a benefit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but then what do you get instead?
Nothing.
Exactly. No, so you might as well have it.
What Chris is trying to tell you as an accountant is that there's, when you receive a benefit in kind,
you have to fork out for it.
No, listen. See, this is where you need to speak to a good accountant.
Here he is.
Because you're missing an opportunity here.
Right.
When you're given a benefit in kind, like health insurance or gym membership or whatever, you pay... And why am I telling you? Chris should be telling you this.
Well, tell me, Chris.
You pay tax on the benefit of it.
Right.
If you took the money, the financial equivalent of a £2,000 membership, then you pay higher rate tax on the whole bloody thing and national insurance and all the other things that you pay as part of your salary.
Right, okay, I get that. But I just, go on.
That's fair if it's something you actually want. If you don't actually want it, then don't have it.
So you can opt out, can you?
Yeah. Usually, you just have to speak to your employer about that.
Yeah.
So if you don't want them to give you a benefit, they don't...
But I think the employers give it to you because they want you to... they gave it to the whole family, including our kids, because they want... If you're abroad or something, they want you to get back to work as soon as possible. That's the reason they give it to you, I guess. Mm. If you break your leg, they want you not on an NHS queue. They want you straight back to work.
Sure.
Shouldn't that sort of thing be covered by your travel insurance rather than your private medical
Possibly.
Insurance?
Possibly. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you're in England,
you need a good accountant is what you need. Yeah. You need to get over the rift. Pretty sharp if you sort some of this stuff out.
I'm going straight over there.
So there are certain criteria for self-assessment, which you've just highlighted. And then you have to do a self-assessment return before the 31st of January each year.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you get assessed on a period to the 5th of April every year. So if we're talking about the 5th of April 2015, you then have to make that return by 31st January 2016.
Right.
You also have to pay any tax that's due by the 31st of January. Mm. And if you have a tax liability of over £1,000, you'll have to make payments on account. So you have to pay half of the next year.
Yeah.
Which means the first year you go into self-assessment, you can get a big tax liability that first time because you're having to pay all the tax that's due plus 50% of next year.
Yep.
It also means if your income from self-assessment fluctuates a lot, then your tax will fluctuate a lot, because if you've underpaid one year, you have to pay the amount you've underpaid, then the payment on account is also increased. So
I'm looking pained here, Chris, because I just paid mine. And the thing that, and I had a, oh, we've got someone phoning in. Let's see who that is on the phone. Who's calling the Business Bunker Show?
Hi, my name's Daryl from ITV.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just calling to see, we're working on Come Dine With Me at the moment.
And right.
We are coming to the area of Canterbury and other surrounding areas.
Mm.
And we're just trying to get people to spread the word. And so my best thought was just trying to call different kind of radio stations and newspapers to see if we could try and get a feeder out.
Okay, well, you're live on air at the moment.
I'm live on air at
yes,
the moment.
Yes, you are.
So why don't you tell us about it?
And funnily enough, you tweeted me, because I do the Scoff and Quaff show, and I'm going to fill in the form and come on myself.
Oh, well, then you must.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But tell us all about it. Because you're live on air, you know.
Well, yes. Well, I hope that there's a lot of people listening.
There
because
are.
We are coming to Canterbury and surrounding areas on the 6th of April. That's when we'll be filming the episode. But we are looking for 5 guests or for 5 dinner parties on 5 nights. And we will be filming what we call our casting tape. So we'll be looking for all different types of characters and different ages. And we are looking for as many people to get in touch to put in some applications so we can, our casting team can have a word with them and hopefully find amazing people of Canterbury and surrounding areas.
Fantastic.
Now, let's be honest, you want the oddballs, don't you?
Well, the oddballs.
She was pointing at me while saying that, I'm afraid.
We are looking for all sorts, you know. Everybody can kind of, if they are the oddballs, they are those.
Yeah.
But it's not just the oddballs, as I slowly retract my words.
No, don't worry about it. You've cracked it. Jules is applying to coming on, and you won't get anyone older than Jules.
It was just filling out the form that put me off, but it is in my inbox, and it is waiting, and I will do it.
So if people want to do it, if they want to get involved, how do they do it? Is there a website or something?
There. What we do is, if you could email, what is the email right here, which is cdwm@shiver.tv. That's obviously standing for Come Dine With Me.
Yep.
If they send an email through, we will send them bounce back an application form, which they will fill out, and one of our casting team will be able to give them a call within a day or two.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Sorry to put you on the spot.
No,
when you called.
I quite like that. Fantastic. Well, look, thank you so much for having me on. And
you're lovely. Yeah. You should have your own show. And you know, we love Dave Lamb, because I listen to it a lot, I watch it a lot, and I think Dave Lamb makes that show. He's just hilarious.
He is great, isn't he?
And
he's quite witty.
What I was wondering was, is he actually there when they're filming, or does he just voice over afterwards?
He does voice over afterwards.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because I thought otherwise he'd get whacked, wouldn't he?
He probably would. Well, make sure you get your application form in too. You sound brilliant.
Oh,
thank you.
I will. I'm not a very good cook, but I will.
There we go.
Brilliant. Thanks so much. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
Lovely, Darren. Now, what are the chances of him phoning in live?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, we interrupted Chris.
But Chris is going to get
on the telly.
You see, in order for Rift, you know, to get a little bit of promotion, you should do this, Chris.
What? Come dine with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I was in full flow trying to sort out my own tax here. So
lost where we were.
Yeah. Exactly. We were talking about self-assessment, and I wanted to just clarify a bit this payment on account business. Can you explain how that works? What's going on there? Were they asking you to pay half of it in advance?
Well, what they're trying to do is to collect some of the tax before
you've earned the money.
Well, it's still in the year that you're earning it, is what they will argue. So if you've got for the tax year 5th of April 2014, well, no, let's say 13.
Yeah.
No, 14. We've just finished. So you've just done your tax return.
Yeah.
Your tax liability was £10,000.
Yeah.
You also have to pay £5,000 towards next year.
Right.
You pay that in January.
But that you're absolutely right. I'm not questioning what you're saying. What throws me, though, is how do they know you're going to earn 10 grand again the next year? They're just assuming you are.
They don't. It's an estimate.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you also make that payment again in July.
Yeah.
And in theory, you've paid all your tax. And if you earned the same the following year as you earned that year, then when you came around to the following January, you wouldn't have a balance in payment to make.
Right.
What you would have to pay is the first payment for the following year.
Right.
So you make your payments in January and July. If your income stays the same, then your tax payments should level out.
Right.
It's when your income goes up and down, but your tax can fluctuate quite wildly.
All right.
And then it makes it difficult for people to manage.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Tell me about it.
So then it's obviously good to get it done as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I say that, absolutely, knowing that I've got to pay it and paying it are two different things. I knew I had to pay it a long time ago. Finding the money to actually cough up and pay it was a difficult bit. But yeah, no, I get your point.
It's still easier if you've got 3 months to think about it rather than 2 days.
Yeah, you could skip the country or something, couldn't you, before they put an all persons out on you. Absolutely. Can you just explain, if you can, how if you've had a tax assessment penalty, what's the process for appealing it?
There's 30 days to appeal from the date you get the penalty, and usually you can just write a letter to HMRC to tell them why you think it's wrong, or to ask for more information on their assessment. Generally, it's a good idea to get your accountant to do it if you have one, because they'll be more familiar with the best approach to getting that penalty reduced or removed completely.
Yeah. Funnily enough, it's funny you should say that, if you've got an accountant and get your accountant to do one. I was having a conversation with the lovely folks from Bridger House, a PR and media company that I follow on Twitter, and we were talking about this the other day. I was coming over to Rift to see the guys over there to talk about some accounting stuff on one of our businesses, and I tweeted that out. I'm going to see my accountant. And somebody tweeted me and they went, "Oh, you poor thing."
I remember you telling me about this.
Really? Why? And Bridger House said the same. Well, what's the matter? And all these people, there's about half a dozen of them, went, "Oh, yeah, I don't want to go and see your accountant." Yeah, why?
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, you know, it's like going to the headmaster's office." Really? And I think people have a strange idea of what an accountant does. I think they think that an accountant is someone that looks at their bookkeeping and goes, "You haven't done that right."
That's one of the stereotypes around, particularly what you might see as an old-fashioned high street accountant. Yeah. We're trying to be different to that. We're trying to be much more modern and approachable. And you come tell us any of your problems, and you've got no issues about worrying about being billed for it or anything like that. I think that's part of the thing. They think every time they pick up the phone to their accountant, they're going to get an invoice on their doormat.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, I don't think people use their accountants properly. And even if there is a bill involved, quite often that is highly worthwhile, because you're going to save a lot more money than you spent by doing it right, or at least saving yourself time. So just as a businessman, and whether you choose Rift or somebody else, I'm not trying to push you in any particular direction. I'd recommend Rift, but that's neither here nor there. The fact is, as a businessman, you need a good accountant, and you need to work in partnership with that accountant, because they are worth their weight in gold. That's just my view on it. We're fast approaching the end of the show. Thank you for answering those questions, Chris. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up? Any other tax related, HMRC related issues that you think we ought to cover, or have we fairly much covered everything?
Well, we mentioned the fact there might be removing that £100 automatic penalty for self-assessment, so that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Just following on from what we did last time on the VAT MOS, we're coming up to the first return to do for VAT MOS.
Yeah.
We don't really know what the penalties around not doing that are going to be, so it would just be interesting to keep an eye on that and see what happens.
That's still a bit of a mess, that, isn't it?
Yeah. No one really knows what's going to happen, because nothing's been submitted yet. Nothing's been due to be submitted yet, so it's just wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll keep our eyes on it.
Yeah. So that could be interesting. We might have something more to report later on in the year once things have started to happen on that front. I know that the European Union held a plebiscite to talk about it, because there were so many complaints from right across the Union, and the Commissioner spent about 5 seconds and then went, "No, we're going to do it anyway," even though every single country said, "Don't do that. It's really badly thought out." And they went, "We're going to ignore all of you and do it in any case." But I think HMRC did say that they were going to be, in the early days, they're going to be a bit lenient, because nobody knows what's going on, really.
Yeah, they've already said up until the end of June, they will be more lenient on the amount of information you have to supply. So how quickly they start to tighten their hold after that, we'll have to wait and see.
I guess
it's all unknown at the moment.
Yeah, I guess they've got to get a grip of it themselves, and they've got to understand it themselves before they start dishing things out. Cool. Look, Chris, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you on the Business Bunker Show, doing small business support and talking to us from the Small Business Support Camp. We're going to be doing lots more things with you guys from RIFT over the coming weeks. For the moment, thank you very much, Mr. Chris Gaze.
Thanks, Paul.
Pleasure. So, I think you can go with an email, Jules.
Right. The aim this year is sub 4 hours.
I could run that.
This April, I will be. This is Sam Bell, Sam Ball, and he's going to run London Marathon for Diabetes.
All right.
So April the 1st, he says he'll be.
Is that Sam from Middleton?
360.ee.
Oh, 360.ee.
Yeah. EE. It's your mouse impersonation. He says he's going to be running in April, and he's raising money for Diabetes UK. His fiance has diabetes. And, sorry, have you got a little trick up your sleeve?
I have. I'm going to land it on you as soon as you finish wobbling.
How nice. With the money raised, and I'm just dying to go to the loo. I can't wait till 3 o'clock. With the money raised, I hope more research and education can be passed on to others who need to learn blood control, particularly if they have a baby on the way, so they can be as lucky as I am to have my family, even in the face of diabetes. He ran 2 marathons in a week last year, Brighton 4 hours, 47 minutes, and London 5 hours, 27 minutes, and the completion was the aim of the game. This year the challenge is to complete London in under 4 hours. So please go to justgiving.com, S-ball1, and that's from the lovely Sam Ball. And there is an email, sam@360-ee.com. And 01622873076. Very hard to say EE, isn't it? Go on, say it.
It is.
Say it. EE.
That's Mickey Mouse ears for you.
Yeah.
I've had a tweet.
And what have you got up
your sleeve? I've had a tweet from your business community.
Right.
And I've had a tweet, and it says, Wigzell is an old English name, unlike me, it says in brackets, and can be traced to East Sussex and Cornwall.
You were right.
Yes,
well,
yes.
You are.
I'm always right.
You know, you never fail to
thank
impress
you, Ted.
Me.
Thank you, Ted.
For being so curmudgeonly, but you are quite clever on that sort of thing, aren't you?
Thank you, Ted.
Yeah.
I like being right.
You were right there. Because you said, like, Wurzel, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Because I was thinking with a Z in that. It was quite Polish.
No, it's Cornish.
Yeah, you are right. He's never going to live... I will tell you, he won't get out of the studio. His head's too big now.
He's also tweeted, your business community is looking for recruiters in Kent. If you want more information, give Andrew Knott a call on 07747114627.
Are you saying don't give Andrew a call, Andrew Knott?
I'm saying... Oh, dear.
Give Andrew Knott a call.
It's not a double negative, no. Give Andrew Knott a call on 07747114627. Or you just follow them on Twitter, YBC.
Riverford Kent Sisters that you mentioned earlier, the organic sisters that deliver all through East Kent, are still looking for a driver 3 days a week. I know what you're going to say. Tell them to go on Jobs in Kent.
Put it on Jobs in Kent. We'll fill it tomorrow.
Won't our business bunker fill it?
No. Jobs in Kent. That's your only hope.
New car sales drive expansion for Kent.
They could get a new van on cars from Kent as well.
They got a van. Do you remember the thing about that? It was Renault, wasn't it? It wasn't good. Renault
I can only do so much of them. They could have got a new van on cars from Kent. They could have got someone to drive it on Jobs in Kent. What more do they want me to do?
Well, they didn't know about Jobs in cars in Kent in those days.
Okay.
But it's before you acquired it.
Right.
Shall I tell you this email or
Yeah, go on then.
Or not bother?
No, go on.
It's from Kent's Hobbs Parker Car Auctions.
How funny. There's a link there.
Little segue, darling. Little segue.
Yeah, it's great when it comes together,
yeah,
isn't it?
Little segue. Sat up all night thinking of that. Sales of new cars in the UK are helping a Kent-based car auction company increase its used car business. Last year saw another excellent year of trading for us, commented Stuart Ryan, who's the business development manager for Hobbs Parker Car Auction. And you can find out more about their dates and catalogues, www.hobbsparker.co.uk. But they are hosting an association with the Rolls-Royce Enthusiast Club on Saturday the 23rd of May.
Wow.
Just before my birthday, listener. This auction of classic cars, including a selection of Rolls-Royce Bentley automobiles, part of the prestigious Hands Across the Sea International Weekend, being held at Western Hangar, Folkestone Racecourse, Hythe, and promises to be a memorable event. So there's also four-wheel drive and all sorts of things and high performance.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm whizzing through this because I know we're at the end.
We're fast running out of time.
So I'll put that in your pile of read again.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Funnily enough, the lovely Juliet Hand from... Juliet Shand from... Three AAA and the Herbs Palsy charity has put me in touch with a lady called Trudy, who runs an organisation called Sporting Bears, which I'm looking to get involved in. And they're a charity that have people that
help bears.
No. They have people that have exotic cars, cars, or vintage cars, or classic cars, and you go along to various charity events and give people rides in your car.
What fun!
In return for donations. So I'm looking at taking the old Porsche along to that.
That looks lovely. That sounds lovely.
Yeah, good fun, eh?
Yeah.
So cool. We've also had another tweet from Lee Willis, who's the chair of the Ancorians Football Club, and he says, Paul, thanks for the mention earlier. We are looking for girls in school year 5 and 6 to form a new under-10s team. So if any of you have got talented lady footballer daughters out there who are currently in school year five or six, under 10 in the Medway area, and they'd like to play a bit of footy, do get along to the Ancorians Football Club. You can follow Lee on the Twitter at LeeJW, that's LeeighJW on the Twitter, or I happen to know if you go to ancorians.co.uk, there is a whole website about their community football team. And Ancorians are a KCFA community club, and they run dozens and dozens of teams for all kinds of abilities, all kinds of people, disabled football, deaf football, all kinds of things, boys, girls, men and women. I don't think they've got a team for us old fogies yet, though, so I might have a word with Lee about starting one of those.
Well, I told you the Zimmers.
The Zimmer United, yeah.
Yeah. And the lovely Andrew has from YBC, your biz community, has said, hi, perhaps I should leave out the not, K-N-O-T-T. Oh, poor Andrew, I've upset him.
Sorry, she's like that. She's very insensitive, Andrew.
I know. Did you know, Paul Andrews, that company naming rules have relaxed?
Have they?
Yeah, legal restrictions concerning company names have been relaxed by Companies House. So the number of words that must be disregarded when establishing whether a proposed company is the same as an existing registered company has been reduced. Mm-hmm. The list of sensitive words and expressions that cannot be used in a company name without consent...
They haven't met you, have they? You could come up with some real humdingers.
I could.
Yeah.
There's some little humdingers, darling.
Yeah.
Without consent.
Ralphie's Emporium, yeah.
Oh, dear. Jimmy's...
Just read the email.
Without consent, it was his brother as well, I heard.
Just read the email.
Without consent has also been reduced. Words and expressions that can now be used in a company name include authority, national and European. You can find out more by going to 3ws.gov.uk government. /news.
All right, Guff.
Changes to the rules for company and business names. Very long website. You can find it on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But that is quite interesting, isn't it?
It is.
We need bridal IP or one of our IP experts on to talk about that.
Yep. It's one of those funny things when you're trying to start a business now, trying to think of a name and also, so making a name relevant, but also where the URL's available, the Twitter handle's available, the Facebook's available and all those kind of things. It just makes it harder and harder and harder.
I had a terrible rant at someone recently because their brand was so confusing because they had a Twitter handle as one name, website another, and then Facebook something else and, you know, and then their actual company name was something else. So they had four names.
It's not easy though, but it's not easy to tie all those things together.
It's not easy.
I shouldn't tell you this, really, but
you're
I will, because there's no one listening.
Well, come dine with me, a listening.
Yeah. Somebody has opened, or is talking about opening a business very close to one of my businesses, which was a little bit annoying. And they've picked a name that is a bit close to something else. I won't give you the details.
Yeah.
For the business. And they've registered the business, and it's registered at Companies House, and it's up and running. So I went and had a quick look, and they hadn't got the website address or anything like that, which was a bit remiss of them.
Really? So have you snatched it?
I'm saying nothing.
Yeah, that's
I'm saying nothing.
Look, it's his Cheshire cat face. Yeah. You're my witness, boys. Oh, good. Yeah. But they didn't do it the right way around.
No, they didn't. People need to think about that. They really do need to think
about
that.
It's true, because when I'm doing something, I get in a frenzy to get it all before someone else gets it. Mm. An absolute frenzy.
It is really important that you get that continuity all the way through. But it's becoming harder and harder. Even with, gazillions of new top-level domain names, it's not easy to make everything fall in line and have a name that's meaningful. And that you can get all those URLs for. Yeah. So it's interesting that they're relaxing some of the things that you can call yourselves. I mean, when I first started my first business, you definitely weren't allowed to call yourself international.
No.
Unless you could prove it. Luckily, with my first business, which was international, I could do that. But
well, I thought the authority as well, because that could be, you could really use that in a scam, couldn't you? Authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite interesting. Perhaps we could get somebody on, Paul Andrews, to talk about it on your on your little show.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's a full English breakfast 8 to 9:30 chamber members? This is the Kent Invicta Chamber, and it's Friday the 6th of March at Coolings Garden Centre, Seven Oaks, and Wednesday the 18th of March, Oakwood House, Maidstone. Details as ever on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk.
Cool. Creston Reeves, the accountants over in Canterbury, are saying, good afternoon. Just to let you know, we're exhibiting at the Agri Expo this Wednesday, the 4th of March. I have no idea what the Agri Expo is. If you were planning on attending the event, why not come and say hello? I would have done if I knew what it was. I take it it's some kind of agricultural show. We'll be exhibiting on stand number 125 from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and it's at the Kent County Showground at Detling this Thursday, 8:30 to 5:30. And that's the Agri Expo show, and Creston Reeves will be at it. So I hope that goes well, folks.
So was that previously Reeves Nalin? Or is that another company?
Yes, no, it's the same.
So they've rebranded?
Yeah, they rebranded to Reeves, and then they've joined forces with Creston, whoever they are.
Well, I've just... They need to work on their branding.
Yeah, well, that makes it even harder, doesn't it? If you're a company that's merged, been taken over, or in some other way subsumed another company, and you put your two company names together, how you handle that, goodness knows.
No, I wasn't being rude about that. I meant Agri Expo, because I've just looked them up on Twitter.
Oh, right.
And it's an agribusiness campus under the development in the heart of the animal science corridor with a mission to educate, innovate, cultivate St. Joseph MO. That can't be it, can it?
No.
Where's MO?
I don't know. I don't know what you're reading.
Moldova?
Yeah, quite possibly.
So that's definitely not Detling.
No. Anyway, we've got only a few seconds left and I've got a couple of important emails to read out here. We're delighted to announce that Active Kids has now become part of Sport for Kids Network and can now offer a whole new range of services with compelling set of new benefits to schools. Sport for Kids, S4K, specialised in offering high-quality child-centric programmes by combining research from child psychologists with world-class coaching techniques across a large number of sports and activities. You can find out more about them by talking to James Porter, and you can email James at james.porter@sport4kids. That's sport4kids.biz. sport4kids.biz. James.porter. Do check that out and find out more about it if you're running a school and you want some help with sports. And I just want to read this again. We have covered it before on a previous show, but they did send it to me again today and asked me to mention it again, which is Red Nose Day, which is back on Friday the 13th of March. It's not an auspicious day, is it? We're delighted to announce that Chaucer Direct, that's the car insurance company over there in Whitstable, will be one of the call centres taking calls during this year's Red Nose Day event, taking place on the 13th of March. This means that if you phone to donate during the show on BBC One on the night, you could be speaking to one of our volunteers. This isn't the first time we've lent our phone lines to a fantastic cause. Last year we took calls from 5 p.m. until midnight during Sport Relief televised event, which also raised money for Comic Relief. In that time we took almost 2,500 calls and tens of thousands of pounds in generous donations from the public. Comic Relief funds incredible work which helps the lives of those in the UK and abroad. With that in mind, we're hoping to beat last year's total and we're looking forward to hosting a Great British Bake Off style cake competition, as well as making our faces funny for money. If you want to find out any more about it, go to our website, which is www.chaucerdirect.co.uk/community. So that's chaucerdirect.co.uk/community, and you can find out all about Chaucer Direct's activities with Red Nose Day this year on Friday the 13th of March.
And the Agri Expo that's in Detling is attracting manufacturers, machinery dealers and other companies directly involved in agriculture. It's supported by Southeast Pharma. Agri Expo has become one of the must-see events on the agricultural calendar.
Fantastic. Well, we've reached the end of the show. Just leaves me to say a massive, massive thank you to today's show sponsor, who are Whitstable Stove Company, to our fabulous guests, Ted Wigzell of Your Business Community, Mr. Luke Redding of Redico, and in the Small Business Support Camp, we had Mr. Chris Gaze, Senior Accountant from Rift Accounting.
He didn't look at his notes once.
Not